You know, angels have a way of showing up. And they always say in Scripture, be not afraid. Now, when anybody tells me that, I have an immediate gut reaction, which is to run like a striped gazelle. It's like when I go to the doctor's office and they say, now this won't hurt a bit. That means it's going to hurt. If they say this is going to be a little uncomfortable, it means it's going to hurt like you know where. And if they say you're going to experience significant discomfort, that means go on and call the undertaker. Euphemisms. They make us feel a little less afraid, and in so doing, they terrify us. Be not afraid, the angel said to Mary. And those three words started the entire panoply of providence, which for us is always good news, but for Mary at that moment was terrifying. Be not afraid, O one who is highly favored. Sometimes, you know, being highly favored of God is not a position to be in, because God sometimes calls his servants to do things they would not normally do. There was, I've forgotten the name of this saint, a very famous lady saint in France. And anyway, she was the head of a religious order. And she was riding with some of the sisters in a coach, and it was raining, and the river they had to cross was flooded. And as they got to the middle of the river, one of the wheels of the coach fell off and tumped, I mean, that's a wonderful word, tumped all of them into the cold, icy river. And they got to the other side of the river, and she said, Lord, why do you treat us thus? And God reportedly replied to her, this is the way I treat all of my friends. And she replied to God and said, that's why you have so few. Being called of God it's a high honor, but it's oftentimes a terrible disconvenience. And that's what happened to Mary. Lest we forget, it was not all light and love and running rivers and soaring birds and angel voices. There was the birth. The birth which, let's face it, those of you, I'm not included, those of you who have given birth know what she went through. And then there was Joseph. Joseph, who is always, you know, oh, she's kind of standing there off to the side, hands together, head down in prayer. And that's about as much activity as you see out of Joseph. I want you, when you have some free time, a week or so, to Google Annunciation pictures. Google that. There are thousands of them. And usually they picture Mary in kind of medieval attire, sitting at a prayer desk with a devotional book open in front of her, and this marvelously dressed angel speaking to her. Well, it's kind of like the cover of our bulletin for this week. There she is. Everything is wonderfully glorious. The fact of the matter is, this woman who is pictured perhaps in her mid to late 20s, well, Mary was barely a teenager, according to our studies of sociology back then. That's when you got engaged. Betrothed, the word was. And then the engagement lasted a year. And then you got married. But you were treated as man and wife during this whole time. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the betrothal, what happens? The angel shows up Fear not. What's going to happen? Well, first of all, Mary's got to explain her newfound condition to Joseph. You remember Joseph. I bet there was a long, hard discussion which was only brought to a conclusion when an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. And then there were the people of the town, the good, righteous people, you know them. And all of a sudden, Mary is pregnant in the midst of her betrothal, and everybody looks at Joseph and says, that wasn't supposed to happen. Not for another 6 months. And then Joseph has to explain to them, I had a dream that explained the whole thing. Fear not. Haters are going to hate. Gossips are going to gossip. And bless their hearts, Mary and Joseph endured it all. And it's no wonder Mary had probably had enough of it and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, leaving Joseph to mind the store, the carpenter shop. There he was. We don't really hear much of Joseph throughout Scripture. And all of us guys, well, we kind of know why. Best place to be is in the background, helping things along. We work behind the scenes best, don't we? And we can channel Joseph and we can kind of avoid a lot of anguish if we just keep a low profile as Joseph did. And so here we go. She goes to Elizabeth, who is well past childbearing age. And she goes, and I just can't imagine what that first discussion was. Elizabeth, I'm coming to visit with you. Guess what? I'm with child. And Elizabeth from her doorstep replies, me too. I bet they had some great discussions. With Elizabeth, everybody was happy and amazed. With Mary, they were all kind of embarrassed and ashamed. And the two of them sat there, and that baby leapt within Elizabeth's womb as soon as Mary shouted her greeting. Be not afraid. You know, I'm going to end this sermon, much to your relief, with the acknowledgement that angels still come to us. Maybe not with wings and soaring voices, but sometimes even when the worst things happen in our lives, when life seems about ready to come to an end, or you're ashamed about something, or you're afraid of something, angels tend to show up right then. And suddenly, there's a path through the grief. There's a path through the discomfort. There's a path through the shame, the guilt. All of a sudden, there is a path we weren't aware of, but there it is. That's angels at work in our lives. Christmas comes 365 days out of the year. We celebrate it only once a year. But you know, it is the one holiday for which we put a lot of anticipation because it symbolizes all the best in us. But it also symbolizes the recognition that angels still come. Grace is still granted. Possibilities are still posted in our lives that we may not have ever considered. And so I want to tell you today, no matter what's going on, some of you are just beyond relieved that the pageant is over now, and that's one less disaster for Christmas. But the angels still come. What we need to do is listen for them, watch for them, wait for them. Let me explain this to you. Angels are always gentlemen and gentle ladies. They never call attention to themselves. They never force themselves upon you. Like small birds outside your window, they are there, bringing hope and the possibility of the coming of the spring of God's grace. Don't be afraid. Be aware. Let us pray. And so, with grateful hearts, O Lord, we listen once again for angels. And even though you tell us not to be afraid, we are yet, because we so desperately want to be in control. Help us to listen instead for angel voices and graceful possibilities, knowing that when we are not in control, that is when you have taken the reins. And help us, O Lord, to yield the horses to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.